Hey friends, my name is Christine Chapel, and you're listening to the Hope and Help podcast from the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, where we host biblical conversations about life's challenging problems. In this episode, I chat with Megan Hill about her new book, Sighing on Sundays, 40 Meditations for When Church Hurts. For more help on today's topic, visit ibcd.org/hopeandhelp, where you can access notes from today's episode and browse related resources from our digital library. Before we get started, let me introduce you to our guest. Megan Hill is a pastor's daughter and pastor's wife. She lives with her husband and four children in Massachusetts, where she is a member of West Springfield Covenant Community Church. She is the author of several books and the managing editor for the Gospel Coalition. Hey there, Megan. Thanks so much for joining us for the show today.
Christine, it's always great to be here.
I'm really excited to talk about this topic with you today, not because it's a great topic, but because I think it's a very prominent issue that a lot of people struggle to process. And it's the topic of church hurt. And you've got a new book coming out here with P&R Publishing entitled Sighing on Sunday. And so before we dive into the topic of hope and help for church hurt, I wonder if you could share about why you wanted to write a resource on this issue.
Yeah. So obviously, people have been hurt in the community of God's people since the fall, right? And we see that in scripture. So it's not a new topic in that sense, but it certainly is something that people are increasingly talking about. And whether that's because of sort of Me Too things and Church Too things and abuse that's risen to the surface and thankfully been exposed and is being addressed, that I suspect that's one way that's risen to prominence. Then I think the pandemic changed a lot of things and sent people home from church and caused them to sort of reconsider their experiences in church with new eyes. And then re-entering the gathering has had people kind of coming in with a fresh perspective. I'm not sure exactly what all the strands are there, but church hurt is not a new thing, but it's certainly something that we're talking about more than we ever have. And I think as we talk about it, more and more people are going, oh yeah, I've had experiences like that too, and on a number of different fronts. And so I thought it would be helpful to provide a resource for people who are navigating that experience and a resource that people could give to somebody that they know and love who's navigating that experience. And so I wrote this book as a help to that person. It's a book of meditations. It's, you know, sort of one page reflections on scripture with some application and reflection questions and some action points. So it's not a book analyzing church hurt or about church hurt in that sense, but it's a tool for somebody who's walking through church hurt to understand their experiences in light of scripture and to think about what they can do next.
I love that that's how you describe the book, because I think that's spot on. And I think as I was combing through this resource and to prepare for this conversation, that's really what I took away from it was like, wow, this is such a powerful tool that even, you know, as biblical counselors or someone who's a discipler or a leader, you know, to use this with someone who is trying to navigate the hurt that they have felt in the context of a church community, I think is just so beneficial for that particular context. Throughout the book, you allude to even your own experiences of hurt and pain in the local church. And so is that also something that motivated you to write on this topic as well?
Yeah. You know, you just, as you, the longer you are in the church, the more hard things that happen to you. And one experience that I have had is that my husband's a pastor, should say that. And two different times he's been called to pastor a church that was hurting. And we arrived at a church that had sort of a congregation-wide hurt. And the two situations were different, but they were, you know, sort of this series of events, as happens in the church, where wrong is done, people are hurt, people are confused, people are sad, there's conflict, you know, that all those things had happened in these churches. And so two times now we've arrived at these bodies of people who are hurting. And so I've had the experience then of walking through, you know, as the pastor's wife, as a member of the church, walking with these people through hurt. And so that has really opened my eyes to see kind of the variety of ways that people experience hurt, and then also what are some things that end up being helpful to them.
So Megan, building off of that then, what are some of the reasons that church may feel like a sad or difficult place to be?
I think in my book, I note 7 of them, and whether I can go through all 7 on the podcast, we'll see how my memory's doing this morning. But so one of them is simply that you're having a hard time in your personal life, that there are just things in your personal life, whether that's you've been diagnosed with infertility and now you're coming to church and there's all these babies and that's hard, or your marriage is in a hard place and then you come and here it looks like everybody is happily married and that's hard. So sometimes it's things in our personal life that make church hard. Sometimes it's that we've been sinned against, that people in the church are sinners and they have neglected us. They haven't looked out for us in our time of need. Maybe they've said hurtful things. Maybe there's even been abuse that they've done hurtful things to us. Sometimes it's that our church leaders have failed, that we've had a pastor or we've had elders or deacons or the whatever the leadership of your church is, and they've fallen into sin and we feel really betrayed by that. And maybe even if maybe they've sinned against us, or maybe they've just fallen into sin and it makes us feel like, what can I even trust anymore? Because this was the person who was teaching God's word to me. And now they've fallen into sin. What, you know, is anything stable? I think sometimes there are changes that happen in the church. You know, we've invested for a really long time in a women's ministry or in a prayer ministry, and there's just not interest in it anymore. And so that ministry shuts down. And now we're in a church where something that we've invested in seems like it's come to nothing, or we're part of a church plant and it just doesn't make it and it shuts down. And we feel like, okay, Lord, I poured out years and years of my life in this thing and now it's come to nothing. And we feel really disappointed and hurt. So I think, and you know, and there are other things as well, but I just think that there's a whole range of things that we feel in the church that make church hard or hurtful.
I wonder, even you mentioned in that answer about hurtful words spoken, you know, from one brother or sister in Christ to another. And so I wonder, in the context of church hurt, what are some of the unhelpful ways that a person might respond to someone else's story of hurt in the church?
I think the first problem that we have is we sometimes fail to hear people out, and we sort of too quickly move to, you know, sort of get over it, or that wasn't that big a deal. You know, I think that's unhelpful. I think sometimes we make it about us. Oh, yeah, that reminds me of time when I felt that too. And then, you know, it becomes about us rather than that person. I think also we fail to recognize that people experience things in different ways. And what might not seem like a big deal to you is a big deal to someone else. And, you know, in 1 Peter, Peter writes to the believers in 1 Peter 1, and he says, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And so I think Peter there is acknowledging that there's a whole range of trials that come to us. And so I think we do well in the church when we recognize that something can legitimately be hurtful to somebody, even if it wouldn't have bothered us.
I have to ask you, for time's sake, to speak broadly about this next question, because we can't spend the whole conversation on it. But I would love for you just to maybe paint a picture, if you would, for us about how the scriptures help us to interpret and process the hurt that we experience in church.
The first thing to note about scripture is that it acknowledges experiences of hurt, that in various places in scripture, we read stories of people who were hurt in the church. You know, think of, just for one quick example, you know, think of Hannah, right? She was struggling with infertility. She was really sad about it. She went to the meeting place of God's people for worship. Eli was the priest. He was supposed to pastor her, and he accused her of being drunk and told her to get out of there. Okay, so she was hurt by a church leader, as it were, by a spiritual leader in the church. And God actually puts that in the scriptures. Like it's there in the Bible for us all to read. You know, he's not whitewashing people's experiences in the church. And so again and again, you know, I could give you many other examples in scripture. We see experiences of people being hurt in God's covenant community. So I think that's the first thing. I think another thing we see is we see Christ himself having experiences of being hurt in the church community among believers, among his disciples. You know, he was even betrayed by one of his disciples and sold over to be killed. So I think we see that scripture acknowledges that, that Christ himself entered into that and had those same experiences. But then I do think we also see that scripture gives us hope, and that scripture paints a picture of the church as flawed and yet valuable, and that we can also use the scriptures to help us see what is fundamentally good about the church and why is it worth persisting with, even when it's hurtful.
You know, Megan, even when I think of the scriptures in a broad sense, and even just the story of God's redemptive plan, you know, even from, you know, creation to consummation, and those are the bookends that we are taught in the scriptures. I think of the fact that what you point out in one of your chapters, we live in a fallen world. So I think that's maybe one reality that we're prone to forget, but then also the spiritual warfare component as well. I think those are two big pieces of the puzzle that we might forget. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So in the book, I sort of ask the question, why does church hurt? What are the fundamental reasons behind our specific experience that cause us to have this experience of hurt in the church? And the first one that I say, you're right, is that we live in a fallen world. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it had implications for all of humanity and for all of creation. You know, Paul says that the whole creation is groaning, you know, that, and we know that in our ordinary life, right? I mean, Christine, you know that when the puppy is up in the middle of the night waking you up, you know, and you can't sleep because the puppy can't sleep because, you know, whatever. Well, that's part of the fallen world. You know, when you get sick, when the bee stings you, when, you know, your family picnic is rained out, you know, all of those are just, it's not that somebody specifically sinned and this is the specific, you know, nobody took a malicious action against you. And yet we live in this fallen world where things don't work the way they're supposed to. And I think we need to remember that that's true in the church too. That even in the church, things don't work the way they're supposed to. And so when, you know, the economy in your region collapses and people are out of work and everyone's moving away and nobody's moving there and your church has to close, that's not somebody's malicious action against you. It's because we live in this fallen and broken world. And yet it's still really hurtful when your church that you have worked towards has to close because there's no money to keep it going anymore. That's really, really hard. And I think scripture gives us avenues of what we can do in those circumstances. We can lament. You know, the Psalms of Lament are there for situations like that. Lord, my sighing is before you. My groanings come before you. This hurts. I don't like this, you know, and we can come to him for that. And we can look in scripture for hope. You know, Isaiah tells us that one day sorrow and sighing will flee away and there won't be any more hurt and there won't be any more pain anymore. And so we can look to that day. I think you're also right. There's another kind of cause for the hurt that we experience, and that's a spiritual warfare cause. That's because Satan hates the church. And I think that we can't forget that. And, you know, the scripture tells us that Satan is a roaring lion and he is out there seeking to devour the church. And there's a whole host of things that the Bible tells us that Satan is trying to do. You know, he's trying to, in the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils, right? When the sower goes out and sows this biblical seed, plants the gospel. Well, one of the things that happens is that Satan tries to take that seed and snatch it away. And so when we see spiritual things bearing little fruit, or when we see divisiveness and conflict, you know, scripture tells us that Satan loves to incite people to fight with each other and to have conflicts with each other. And so I think we can look and see, yes, there's sin in this situation, but it's not only sin. Some of it is that Satan is at work in the unseen places. And so there's spiritual warfare going on. And these wounds that I'm feeling, these are wounds that are inflicted by Satan, who's the enemy of the church. And so then I think scripture gives us, how can we respond to that? Well, you know, Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of faith and tells us to put on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, and also to take up the work of prayer and to do the work of praying that Satan would lead us not into temptation and that God would deliver us from the evil one. And the scripture also tells us to be on guard and to be aware against Satan. And if Satan's attacking your church, you can bet he's going to come after you too and try to stir you up to sin and unbelief and doubt. And so you can be on guard against that. And so, yes, I think there are many reasons for hurt in the church that are not a specific malicious action against us, and yet are still really hurtful and really painful. But understanding those causes can help us to know, okay, what do I do next?
Yeah, and even thinking too about the fallenness of our world and also the spiritual warfare, even all of that is still under the providence of God, right? God remains in control even as he gives permission to Satan to meddle and to cause trouble in our lives. And so just thinking about that reality, and that there are probably the majority of our listeners understand that reality, that God still remains in control. And that's actually a source of pain in itself, because it's like, well, then why is God allowing this to come into my church community? Why has God allowed me to be hurt in this way? And so I wonder too, I mean, this is something that you spend a good amount of time going through in the book, a whole section that talks about why should I trust God when church hurts. And so thank you for taking, you know, 5 days, I think it is, 4 days on this, these meditations to think through that. But even here in our conversation now, maybe you could touch on some of the ways that a person's trust in God might be shaken as a result of their church-related pain.
I think sometimes we do, you know, something wrong, something hard happens, something hurtful happens, and we think to ourselves, I should trust God here. And that's the right response to think, I know I should trust God. But I think sometimes we don't have a lot to back that up. We don't know why should I trust God? And so then it's sort of this empty thing that we say to ourselves, oh, I know I should trust God. And maybe we beat ourselves up that we're not trusting God more. But what we need to know is to understand the character of God, so we have a reason to trust God. And so, you know, it's when you, as you know, when you're a little kid, right, and your mom asks you to do something that's hard, if you've had a good parenting experience, well, if your mom asks you to do something that's hard for you, you trust, okay, well, she's my mom. So the reason she's asking me to do this must be a good one, because I know my mom, right? Or some other person in your life that you trust. Well, I think we have a similar dynamic with the Lord, that when he calls us to go through something that's hard or hurtful, it's when we have this knowledge of him, this relationship with him, that enables us then to go, okay, I can go through this hard thing because I know him and I know that he's for me and that what he always does is good. So in the book, then I lay out a few things that we need to learn about God so that we can trust him. And one of them is that he's in control. As you said, you know, that God is sovereign and that everything that happens, God does, that, you know, that is from the hand of God. And that can help us, but it can only help us if we also know that God is good. And that God is the one who does what is good and what is loving and what is kind and what is best for us and what is for his glory. And so if you have a sovereign God, if you have a God who's in control, but he's not also loving, then that's not very comforting, is it? Because he's just doing things without respect to what might be good for us. If you have a God who is loving, but who's not actually in control, then that's not very comforting either, because he's just sort of, well, thinking these general loving things toward us, but he can't do anything to actually bring good in our lives. But when we know both of those things, that God's in control and he's also loving and good, then that's when we can trust him, because we can say he's in control of the situation and he's also only doing what's right. And so even when it doesn't make sense, or even when it's hurtful, we know that God doesn't fail in those things, that God never changes. And so we can trust him in the middle of hard situations.
In one of your earlier answers, I think you mentioned the reality that when we are experiencing church hurt, we may respond with sorrow, with sadness, or prayers of lament. And so maybe now that we've spent some time exploring the nature of church hurt and some of the contributing factors to that, I wonder if you could help us think about some practical ways that someone might begin to respond to the grief that they're feeling.
I think the first thing to do with our grief is to acknowledge it and to express it to the Lord. We have this example in scripture of Ezra in the Old Testament, and the people of God had gone back into the land. But then once they got there, then they fell into sin and they started marrying pagans and engaging in pagan practices. And word comes to Ezra, hey, the people of God have fallen into this sin. And the thing that he does immediately is he weeps, he cries out before the Lord, he tears his clothes, he falls on his face to the Lord in sorrow. That can be our first response too. Lord, this is awful that my pastor has fallen into sin. This is horrible. Lord, I feel hurt that somebody said that hard thing to me. Lord, here I am in need and nobody has checked on me. And Lord, I feel really hurt and sad about that. And sort of naming and bringing to the Lord that thing that hurts us. I think another thing that we can do, and we talked about this just briefly when we're talking about spiritual attacks, is we can ask for help to be on guard against Satan. Just because something hurtful has happened to us doesn't mean that Satan's going to give us a pass. In fact, Satan, you know, sort of like the lion that goes after the weak and the wounded member of the flock, right? Satan actually likes it when you're hurt in the church because he sees it as an opportunity to go after your soul. And so as hard as it can be to think, oh, great, now not only am I hurt, but Satan is going to try and get me to sin and Satan's going to try and pull me away from Christ. That's actually what does happen. And so we can ask for the Lord's help. Lord, I realize I'm in a vulnerable place. I'm like that hurt antelope at the back of the herd, you know, and the lions are circling. And so Lord, help me to be on guard. Keep me away from Satan. I think another thing that we can do is we can seek whatever good we can do, you know, by the Spirit's help. What's something good that we can do? How can we serve someone else who has been hurt? How can we look to do good in the body? How can we look to honor the Lord? Even when we're hurt, to ask for the Lord's help. Okay, I'm hurt. This is not fun. This is really sad. And yet, I trust that you still have something good for me to do here. Help me to see what that good thing is and to do it by your strength.
Megan, then on the contrary, what are some cautions that you would offer our listeners in terms of unhelpful ways that they might respond to their pain?
Yeah. I mean, I think Satan loves for us to respond in bad ways. He loves bitterness. He loves us to be sort of stuck in that place of hurt and looking for someone to blame, looking for some way to just sort of marinate in what was done wrong and never to be able to deal with that and move on. I think Satan loves to stir up trouble, and he loves to cause people to turn, Christians to turn against one another. Now, if you've been sinned against, there is certainly a biblical place for seeking reconciliation, restitution, for seeking justice. You know, if no reconciliation can happen, for seeking justice, there's a place for all of those things. But what I'm talking about is how Satan loves to turn us against each other in sinful ways and in gossip and slander and backbiting and, you know, hating one another. Satan loves to do that. So we have to be on guard against that and look to follow the right biblical path to solve things that have been done against us. Satan loves to stir us up to doubt. If my experience in the church has been bad, it must be God himself is not good. And so we need to be on guard against that and be studying the scriptures and learning who God is and asking for faith. Like the man that came to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to believe that what you say is true about who you are, even when I'm feeling really hurt right now.
I want to turn the conversation now to Jesus. And I think that someone who has been hurt in the church may be tempted to think that they don't need to belong to a local body anymore. And so how does looking to Christ's relationship with his church offer us wisdom and even hope in this area?
I think looking to Jesus is always the right answer. So for us, you know, when we consider, when we look at Jesus sort of in light of church hurt, I think we see that Jesus came to earth for his church. That's what the book of Ephesians tells us, that the sort of the great work of Christ was in Ephesians 5, so that he might sanctify the church with the washing of water and present her to himself without blemish. So Jesus came to an imperfect church so that he could do the work of making her perfect. And so I think we can learn things from that, that Jesus came to an imperfect, a blemished church. In fact, Jesus himself was hurt by the church. You know, even think of Christ in Gethsemane, right? Hours before he was to be crucified. And he took the believers, he took the disciples, and he took them with him in his great agony and distress. And he said to them, sit here and pray for me for a few minutes. And he went off and prayed in such great distress, drops of blood, you know, in such great distress. And he came back. And what was the church doing? Well, they weren't supporting him by prayer. They fell asleep. And Christine, you know, they did that 3 times. The believers fell asleep at his hour of greatest need. Okay. So our Lord knows what it is to be neglected by God's people, to be hurt by God's people, for God's people not even to care enough to pray for you for a few minutes, to fall asleep. And so I think we can take encouragement from that our Lord knows, and yet he still did it. Why did he persist? Well, because the church is so precious to him. And so the church is so precious to him that he would come and willingly enter into these hurts and this neglect, this trouble in the church, because it's so precious to him. And so I think that can encourage us as well, that Christ is not in our hurt. Christ is not asking us to go anywhere. He hasn't already gone. He has been there ahead of us and has gone there. And also, though, that he saw it as so precious that it was worth it. And so we too can know that we are precious to him, that he entered into hurt for our sake, and that the church can love what he loves as well.
We're recording this conversation on Good Friday, and I love the fact that you brought up the Garden of Gethsemane, just because it's, you know, something that's just fresh on our minds. It makes me think about in Luke 22, where Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, "Behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And I think even just that statement there, I see so much of our conversation today in that, because number one, Satan has demanded to have the church and will sift the church like wheat, right? But the reason for the church's perseverance is that Christ has prayed for her, for us. And when we turn again, right, after all the hurt that we're processing, after the failures and the sin struggles and the conflict and the pain, after we have turned back to the church, to our Lord and all of that, what do we do? But like what you talked about earlier is we strengthen one another. We comfort one another with the comforts that we have received. And so anyway, just kind of applying that particular scene to our conversation is an encouragement to me, because at the end of the day, it points us back to the whole reason the church is sustained is because of Christ. Like you talk about in the section where you discuss, why should I keep showing up? You give us reason after reason after reason based on Jesus's relationship with the church. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that because that came to mind as you were talking.
I think that's so helpful for us to remember that it is that the church is upheld by Jesus. And so when we are hurt, we can feel like, okay, what can I even do? Is there even any hope? And there is hope because of Jesus, and because he is perfecting his church, and he is about the work of praying for his church, and he is bringing justice in his church, and he is caring for his church in all these different ways. And he promises that he'll show up when we're gathered together. He promises that by his Spirit, he'll be in our midst. And so as we come to church, it may be hard for us to come for any number of reasons, but we can come for Jesus. And that's the best reason of all to come.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, Megan, we've got time for a few more questions. So I wonder if you've mentioned actually a few narratives already, but maybe you've got one more up your sleeve you could share with us, a biblical narrative of church hurt in the scriptures, and maybe help us to think about how that story can offer us as those who have been hurt examples of how to respond in that particular situation.
One that I continually return to is in Paul's last letter. So in 2 Timothy, the last letter that we, sort of chronologically, the last letter that we think that Paul wrote, Paul is sitting in prison in Rome. And at the very end of the letter, he says, "At my first defense, no one came and stood by me, all deserted me." So here we have Paul, who is sort of the great servant of the church, right? And he is the apostle. He's the one who planted churches throughout the known world. He wrote most of the New Testament. And here he is at the end of his ministry, sitting in prison. He had to go before a Roman magistrate. He had to go to court. And he says none of the Christians came with him. Like no other Christian came. And he says, no one came and stood by me, all deserted me, which seems like an intentional choice on their part, echoing what you said earlier about the disciples all deserting Jesus in the hour of his need. Well, Paul too had that experience here in the hour of his need. The church deserted him. The Christians deserted him. But then Paul goes on to say, and yet the Lord strengthened me. So Paul had this experience of being neglected, of being deserted, of being hurt in the church. And yet he says, the Lord strengthened me. So in our times of hurt and neglect, we can tell that to the Lord. Again, God had that written in scripture. Like, he didn't sugarcoat what happened to Paul. This is written in scripture 2000 years later. We're reading this, that the church deserted Paul. They didn't go to court with him. Poor Paul, right? How hard, how horrible that would be. And yet he says, the Lord strengthened me. So his attention was, look, people in the church have let me down, but I'm turning to the Lord and the Lord can help me. That can be our hope as well. And also we see that Paul continues to serve the church. He doesn't wash his hands of the church. So he had this hurtful experience. He acknowledges it. He turns to the Lord and finds comfort. And then he continues, he signed his name to the letter of encouragement to the church and he sent it off to them. And so he did continue to serve the church and do good to the church, even despite what he had experienced, because of the Lord's strengthening. And so in our times of hurt, especially when people let us down, we can look to the Lord for his strength and say, Lord, I can't keep serving the church on my own strength. I can't keep showing up on my own strength, but I can do like Paul and I can turn to you and ask you to strengthen me and I can continue to do good in your strength.
I love that you take us through 7 different meditations that help us to explore what have others done in my situation. And so that's one of the days I think that you shared there. And so I want to let the listeners know that there's more. There's more narratives that Megan helps us to see these situations that are hard and painful and hurtful. But we see how story after story after story, these brothers and sisters work through that pain in a redemptive way. We are the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. It is our mission to equip the local church in one another care. And so that being said, in what ways do you think that the members of the local church can better support those who have experienced church hurt in the past?
I think recognizing that it's a common thing that probably all of us to one degree or another find it hard to show up on a Sunday morning, whether that's a personal situation, whether that's feeling of being sinned against, maybe it's just feeling let down or disappointed by things that are going on. I always think when I walk into church on Sunday morning, what an effort it took for all of these people to be here and what they had to overcome, ask for the help of the Spirit to look past, ask for the help of the Spirit to encourage them. And so for us even to recognize that about all of us, that we're walking into a space, when we walk into church, we're walking into a space of a bunch of people who've been hurt in a variety of ways. And so then to treat one another with kindness and with encouragement. I'm so glad that you're here. It's good to see you today. Just even being glad to see one another with that sort of in the back of your mind. There's something that this person is going through that's making it hard for them to be here. And so just to say it, I'm so glad. I know it's not easy to get here on Sunday. I know it's not easy to be here. And I'm so glad that you're here. And then I think hearing other people's stories and sharing our stories as appropriate, it's not appropriate to share every detail of everything. And we do have to be careful with what we share with who, but being willing to say, this is a common thing to feel this way in the church. You know, here are some things I've walked through. I know kind of how that can be. And then, of course, pointing one another to the Lord, because it is true that we're weak, we're fallen people, we're sinful. Satan is on the move. There are going to be hard things that happen. And so pointing one another to the hope of Christ and also to the hope of heaven, where every tear will be wiped away and God's people will be gathered together perfectly for eternity, I think is something we can do to encourage one another.
Awesome. Yeah, those are great practical tips. So thank you so much for offering those. Well, we've come to the point in our show where I'm going to ask you to do something you've done a few times before, which is to speak directly to the audience. There may be someone listening today who finds themselves walking through a difficult season where church hurts. What would you say to encourage this listener with the hope and help of Jesus Christ?
First of all, I'm really sorry that it does hurt and it is very hard. And I think being hurt in the church is probably one of the hardest experiences that a Christian can have. And so I'm so sorry that that has been your experience. And I would just encourage you to open up your Bible today, to meditate on one thing about the Lord that is true, one thing about how loving and kind and merciful he is toward hurt people, to look for comfort in the Lord, and then to pray and to pour out your hurt to the Lord, to lament it, to grieve over it, to tell him what has happened, and then to ask him for help to move forward and to take the next step, whatever that might be, to take one step today that would be toward the Lord and toward his good purposes for you, and to do that prayerfully and in the help of the Holy Spirit.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for those words of encouragement. Megan, if there's someone who wants to get connected with you and your ministry, is there somewhere they can go online to view all of your different books and articles? Where would you direct that listener to?
So you can find me on social media. I have an author page on Amazon, and I also work for the Gospel Coalition. And so some of my work is up there on the Gospel Coalition as well.
If you are listening and you want to get more information on Megan's book, you can go ahead and scroll down to the show notes, click the link there, and that will take you to a page on IBCD's website where you can access all of that information. Megan, thank you again for taking the time. You know, I'll let the listeners in on a little secret. Both of us have kids home today. They're out of school. And so we both kind of had to come together on a hectic day for this. But I really appreciated hearing from you on this topic, and I hope that the listeners were blessed as well. So thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Christine.
Before we let you go, I'd like to remind you to visit ibcd.org/hopeandhelp. There you can check out the show notes from today's episode. If you enjoyed this conversation, why not subscribe to the podcast? That way you'll be notified when new episodes release. Also, please don't keep the Hope and Help podcast a secret. If you know someone who could be encouraged by listening to this episode, please do them a favor by sharing it. Thanks so much for joining us for today's show. Be sure to join us next time on the Hope and Help podcast.